I'd like to begin by reading a couple of key scriptures. We read them last week, and I'd like to read them again this morning, and out of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Chosen to be a soldier. 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. His departure of Paul was about at hand, and he says, I have fought the good fight. Now let's read 1 Timothy 6:12. Get to it. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, as we come this morning, it's just on my heart that we truly be awakened, Lord Jesus, that we are indeed soldiers. Lord Jesus, soldiers in your army. Lord, with a commission, a charge to subdue and to bring into subjection all things, to have dominion, that thy will might be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Lord, rise us up to be good soldiers, to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, only your Holy Spirit can touch our hearts in such a way that we find ourselves truly a soldier in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you anoint this morning that we might truly speak and hear your word. At least it'll just be flesh trying to encourage flesh. Lord, may your Spirit move, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, actually, there's been a key word on my heart throughout this series, and it's been the word passion. And you know that the word passion comes from the Latin word to suffer. And what it really means is you have a passion for something, it has gripped your soul, it has gripped your heart, and you give yourself totally and completely to it, even willing to suffer, and if need be, to die because it's worth it. The passion. Oh, may the Lord give us a passion. The first message was on a really, well, the key message, I'll put it that way, is a passion for Christ. Without a passion for Christ, all these other passions I mentioned will be futile. It takes a real passion for Christ Himself in your life. A passion to finish the course. We know that we've all been set on a course. We've been called according to purpose, that we might be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be so matured that we can become overcomers, that part of that man-child that will be raptured to the throne and initiate the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, when He will come back and take the kingdoms of this world to Himself and set up His millennial reign on this earth. It is essential that we have a passion not only for Christ, but to finish the course, a passion to overcome. And brothers and sisters, that involves a passion to fight the good fight, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, last time we talked about the nature of this fight, of this warfare we're in. And I mentioned that it really began in eternity past with Lucifer. Lucifer being the highest archangel underneath Jesus Christ, probably the leader in worship and in charge probably of this universe in which we live in and the earth on which we live. And he one day began to consider himself, self-awareness, and he began to become dissatisfied with the place that he had. He had many gifts, and he began to consider himself, and pride arose in his heart, and he felt like he should have the place of Jesus Christ, that he should have deity, of which, of course, he was not. And he rebelled against God. And in his rebellion, he convinced a third of the angels, and there's multitudes that we cannot number of those, a third of the angels, and he cast them out of the mountain of God, it says in Ezekiel and Isaiah. And he was cast to the earth, and the earth became void and dark and in chaos. And we believe that's because he was here in the atmosphere and it began to affect the creation that God had made. But God had a plan. He, on the sixth day, created man. And he told Adam, let's read this. I think if we don't grasp this, we're missing the heart of the issue. It's out of Genesis 1:28. This is God's charge to Adam. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth," which we've done a good job of that, "subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing." That we have failed at. That Adam failed at. The enemy had taken dominion of this earth. And God really raised up Adam. He was to recover. This world for Jesus Christ. And in this charge that he gave to Adam, he took the dominion of Satan and gave it to Adam. He says, Satan is no longer to have dominion. Adam is to have dominion. Well, of course, immediately there was warfare and Satan entered the garden. He deceived Eve and brought Adam into disobedience of God, and therefore he failed. Now, if you look at the conversation with Eve and Adam, Eve was kind of blaming God, and Adam blamed his wife Eve. And in other words, they too became self-centered, self-aware, self-concerned. In fact, they were deceived in thinking that they would be like God, could live their lives for themselves. Self-centeredness. Brothers and sisters, this is the poison of the enemy. The poison that has poisoned human nature from the beginning. Self-centeredness and pride. Brothers and sisters, how dangerous that poison is. So great was it that it has affected humanity down through the ages. All born out of Adam, which we are, have this poison in us. And the Word of God is very clear that we're actually born in sin. That's Psalm 55:1. And then, brothers and sisters, we find out and discover that actually when we're born into the kingdom of darkness. We're born under the authority of our enemy, Satan. Let's look at Ephesians 2:1-5. Once again, it is important to understand our condition. Ephesians 2:1-5. Ephesians 2:1-5. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's your condition before you accept Christ. That's your condition when you're born. You're dead towards God. You're unable to really commune with Him. And you're dead in sin. where in times past you walked according to the course of the world. You were under the dominion of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom you also had our conversation in times past, in the lust and desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. God's wrath rests upon us from birth. The sentence of death is upon us. But brothers and sisters, God did not execute His wrath upon us when we were born. He is merciful and long-suffering, desiring all that come unto Jesus Christ and His salvation. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. It's purely by the grace of God. It extends His love to you through Jesus Christ. And accepting Christ, brothers and sisters, you are delivered. Not only, not only are you justified, no longer under the sentence of death, your sins have been forgiven in Christ. And hallelujah, brothers and sisters, you are delivered from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan in which you were born, into the kingdom of God. Let's read it. I want you to read it. I want you to see it. Colossians. Get to it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Speaking of Christ, it says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Through Christ, we've been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of His Son. Today, we ought to be shouting hallelujah. We're no longer under the kingdom of darkness. We're no longer in that prison. You know, I couldn't help but think of the Holocaust, how the Jewish people were put into these death camps. And we have seen, most of us, I think, the horrors of those death camps, the horrors that they went through. And some lasted through those horrors. Some were finally released. Brothers and sisters, how much, when you've ever heard any testimony of any of these ones that were in the Holocaust, you'll see how grateful they are for their deliverance, how grateful they are that they were saved out of that prison camp. Brothers and sisters, when you're born into a prison camp. It's a little different than the Nazi prison death camps. It's different in this way. It's different because in the beginning, Satan, the enemy, uses the pleasures of sin and the pleasures of this world to seduce you, to get you to come into agreement with him, to get you on his side and willing to serve him. And brothers and sisters, in the beginning, it's pleasure. But in the end, it is death. It is like a poison in your system. It is like taking drugs. And eventually, the drugs not only destroy your body, but they destroy your soul. And that is what the pleasure of sin will do. That is what the pleasures of the world that are offered to you will do to you. It enslaves you and eventually destroys your soul. And eventually, you will be in his camp, Satan's camp, forever with him. And it will no longer be pleasures. For the little we get out of the Word of God, it will be quite tragic to have to live through eternity in the kingdom of darkness. But brothers and sisters, you've been given a great opportunity to accept Jesus Christ and be delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. And praise God, probably most everybody in this room has. But this morning, what is a burden on my heart is, how much do we really appreciate the fact that we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness? May the Lord show us. the great privilege that He has given to us. Now, as I said last week, the moment you accept Jesus Christ, you enter into warfare. As long as you're in His camp, you're not really in warfare. But once you accept Jesus Christ, you immediately become His enemy. Satan's enemy. You become his target. But brothers and sisters, on the positive side, you become a soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not optional. I think some, unfortunately, in the Christian life today and in the Christian world, we hear a little about this. But you're a soldier. You're not a civilian in the church. There's no such thing as a civilian. You are a soldier, and all are engaged in this warfare, brothers and sisters. The army of God is His church. That's the warrior in Ephesians 6 that most of us have read about is really the corporate warrior, the church, the army of God. But you are an individual soldier called into the army to serve Him and serve the supreme leader, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we need to know the enemy has organized this world into the kingdom of darkness. We need to be very clear about this. It is completely organized. And in the word for it is cosmos. Everything is under His authority. Political, that's not hard to believe, is it? Economic, and we see how the world's economies now are shaking. And brothers and sisters, how they're being used in this day. Social, it affects our social life and our education. We can see even in our educational system the work of the enemy. I say today that unfortunately education is no longer used to train us and to educate us, but it is to indoctrinate us. That is what is happening to our children in our schools today. They're beginning to be indoctrinated into the high order of the government, and whatever the government deems as politically correct is what it will be taught in your schools. And I mentioned last time in Fairfax County, the Department of Education has forced Fairfax County to include transgender education in their school curriculum. And if they were unwilling, and they said, okay, we'll just take all your federal funding. So it became a moot cause. But the problem is, the enemy now, it's been hidden for years, I think. Except some of us older ones remember when prayer was taken out of school, because when I went to school, every day we said the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, we did the Pledge of Allegiance. Whether our heart was in it or not, we did it. And that was taken from us many, many years ago. And then, of course, we had the issue of abortion. For many years now. And millions, I think they estimate 70 million children have been aborted since that case came to the Supreme Court. The point being that the enemy's darkness is now coming to light. And we're seeing more and more. It's very disturbing to me. But it shouldn't be. Because the Word of God is very clear that this is what's going to happen. In the end, all of His works of darkness will come to light. And in the end, all of His works will be judged. But brothers and sisters, the enemy had the world under his cosmos, his kingdom. And Christ entered this kingdom. Christ entered this world. And at Calvary's cross, He had victory over sin, death, and the enemy. And in so doing, He set the captive free. Been set. Those who have accepted Jesus have been set free. The captive has been set free from the kingdom of darkness. And now the Lord is using those, you and me, to set up His kingdom on this earth. to stand for God's will upon this earth. God is building His kingdom now. Now, I'm not talking about building it through trying to get Christians elected to office. I'm talking about building it by going the way of the cross, by allowing the Lord to work in your life, to be conformed to the image of Christ, by standing for God's will against the evils that we see of the enemy as the church of God, as a soldier of Jesus Christ. In this foreign territory, the Lord has come and is setting up His kingdom. The church is kind of like a beachhead in the enemy's territory. And from that beachhead, he will grow until he eventually conquers and takes it back for himself and rule as king in the millennial kingdom. But we're here to rule for God, to be kings and priests, and to take up the charge that Adam lost, to take dominion and subdue all things to the feet of Jesus. That's what we're called to be, brothers and sisters. And in some sense, we have to say how far short we have fallen as a church to bring all things to the feet of Jesus. The enemy is going to resist all opposition, particularly to the church, to you as an individual, because you carry the testimony of Jesus. He will resist. That is the nature of His kingdom. And as He resists, His kingdom becomes manifest, just like I just mentioned. The more closer we get to the end, the more manifestation of the darkness that has been there all the time will be revealed. And we will have to stand against that darkness. But thank God, God is using this resistance to mature you and me, to transform you and me into the image of Christ, to mature His church. And brothers and sisters, in this last day, we know that the church in general has failed, but God is looking for what? I mentioned it before, overcomers. Those who become true soldiers, overcomers, in Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, the overcomers will become the man-child. So out of all of this resistance, God is bringing forth a man-child. Out of all its travail that this evil causes, God is bringing forth a man-child. That is the positive side. And when the man-child, when the number of overcomers is complete, the man-child will be manifest. And he will be sent direct or raptured directly to the throne. And from there, they will escort Christ back to the cloud and then eventually to the earth. And when that happens, towards the end of the Great Tribulation, there will be the last great battle of Armageddon, where the enemy will be made subject to Jesus Christ. The nations will be judged. The church will come under the judgment seat of Christ. And in the end, there will be the millennium period, with Israel as the chief nation, all under the government and headship of Christ and the overcomers for 1,000 years. That is what you've been called to as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, as a soldier, when you first became a soldier, the Lord, how do I want to put it? You were still a baby. So the Lord shows you His love and His mercy and His grace. And frankly, things seem to just fall in place, don't they? You're just blessed. You're blessed in everything. And it's just the blessings of God are so great. And He draws you in love to Himself because He's got to strengthen this soldier. And He strengthens the soldier through His love. And that increases your faith as you begin to see the love of Christ in your life, the forgiveness of sins. You even experience something of His victory in your life. And then you really begin to enter into what I call the first stage of combat. What is this first stage? There, all that the Lord Jesus has kind of blessed you with and taught you about His work on Calvary and who He is, He begins to work out in your life, and He does this through trials and temptations. Now, the trials, the purpose of trials is to strengthen your faith. And just as a quick example, when we remember Abraham, you know, he left not knowing where he was going. That was faith. But he wasn't completely obedient because he took his family with him, which he wasn't supposed to. But in the end, the supreme trial of faith is when God asked him to take his son to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there unto God. And Abraham obeyed completely. His faith was mighty. His faith was strong. And so the Lord brings these trials into our lives, these challenges, that He might strengthen our faith. And it says in the Word of God that He doesn't bring this trial until He's already worked in you the faith that is needed to go through it. And then He brings about the actual trial to demonstrate that faith in you. And then there's the temptations. He allows the enemy to tempt us. The Lord doesn't tempt us, but we come into temptations. Now, what is this about? When you find yourselves in temptations, and usually it's over one thing or at a time, sometimes maybe a few, but when you find yourself being tempted with something, that means that the Lord is after something in your life. He's trying to deal with something of the flesh. In that, and so the temptation brings it forth. It brings the issue out. And the Lord says, you've got to deal with it under the victory of Christ. You've got to give yourself to me. You've got to allow my victory to take place in this area of your life. And therefore, you come more and more into the character of Christ through these temptations. Now, we don't pray for trials and temptations. We don't need to do that. The Holy Spirit works that all out. And like I say, God doesn't tempt us, but He does allow the hand of the enemy to do it at times. But His purpose is for good. His purpose is to make you aware that there's an issue in your life that you've got to deal with. And if we will allow Him to deal with it, we will come through in triumph, coming more and more into the image of Christ. So in the first stage of this warfare, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, it's really mostly a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Your flesh, your old ego, the old I that it speaks about, is trying to war against the Spirit in your life. It's an internal battle. And it is a battle, frankly, that goes on until we die, because the flesh is always with us. Though it is under the sentence of death, we need to know that. It is similar, this battle is similar to the Amalekites. Remember when Israel was in the land, in the desert, and right before they came to the promised land, they were attacked by the Amalekites. And the Amalekites, brothers and sisters, always represent the flesh in us, the old man that wants to do things himself, that can take control himself, then make it through. And the Amalekites struck unaware. They struck the Israelites. Now, Joshua did go out to fight the battle. There's no doubt about that. But it was fought in quite a different way. If you'll remember, Moses went up on top of the mountain, and Aaron and Hur were with him. And as long as he held up the rod of God's authority in the air, Joshua and Israel prevailed. But when his arms got tired and he began to drop that rod of authority of Christ, what happened? They began to lose the battle. And it went on all day. And finally, Aaron and Hur had to hold up the arms of Moses, and they had the victory because the rod of authority was held up. So really, this battle between flesh and blood, you need to have faith in God. You need to have faith in Christ's victory on Calvary's cross. That is the rod of your authority, is Christ. It is His victory over the enemy that you have to stand in faith in this battle. Now, let's look at Galatians 5, 16 through 18. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And some versions say the desire of the flesh. I like that. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. In other words, they're at war with each other. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Brothers and sisters, what is this matter? In this warfare, it's the flesh and the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? As you read this scripture out of Galatians, the emphasis is on being led by the Spirit. Now, I read this illustration, and I thought it was a great illustration. The Spirit is like the locomotive of a train. All the power rests in the Spirit. You're like one of the cars attached to the locomotive. And all you have to do is follow the locomotive. All the power rests in the locomotive. You have no power of your own. All you need to do is stay hooked up. All you need to do is to stay hooked up. That means hooked to Christ. Living your life, actively involved with having Christ a part of your daily life. That means getting up with Him. That means, you know, going on with Him. That means submitting to Him. But it means to make Christ an active part of your life. You're hooked up to Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, the flesh cannot fight flesh. In other words, your old ego, the I, let's look at Galatians 2:20. That'll help. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. That is the old I, is the ego, the self-man, the self-centered one. It said He's been crucified. In other words, He's under the sentence of death. Though He will be with you until the end, He is under the sentence of God. He's under the sentence of death. And He will eventually go. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, the new I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by faith. The new I lives by faith. The old I lives by self-power, self-provision. And let me go back to my illustration. We're a little different than a train car. We're like a train car that also has its own little motor. We're hooked up to the locomotive. We have our own little motor. And the problem is that it is self-centered. It will never submit to Christ. Do you know that? Your old I, no matter how much you want it to qualify, never will. It will never be submissive. It will never be obedient. It just doesn't want to. It doesn't want to live by faith. It wants to live by self-strength. That is what that little motor is. in you. And you don't want to stay on the rails by any means. You're ready to jump track. So that is our struggle. We're hooked to the locomotive, the spirit. If we just keep our engine off, then we will be hooked to the locomotive, and wherever the locomotive leads, we will follow. And that is the secret of walking in the Spirit. In Galatians 5:24, it says, those in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I want to say this. The decisive battle is when won by Christ on the cross. You have been crucified with Christ. That is a decisive battle. The capital, so to speak, in your life has been taken. But the enemy is like guerrilla warfare. And he doesn't want to give up arms. And he doesn't want to lay his weapons down. But if we continue to walk in the Spirit, just say, hooked up to that locomotive, not firing up our own little engines, if we'll just do that, brothers and sisters, we will find daily, more and more, we will begin to fulfill the desires of the Spirit and not the desires of the flesh. Well, how do you stay attached to this locomotive? That becomes the key thing. How do you stay attached? One brother said, and I like this, he said, you stay attached by keeping your heart happy in Christ, satisfied in Christ, joyful in Christ. Daily, you get up and you say, Lord, I just need to take a few moments to meditate on you, to meditate in your word, because that's where you find Christ. You meditate on His Word, and you begin to say, Lord, I just need to see You this morning before I go off. And He'll speak to you. A few minutes of meditation, oh, it does wonders to keeping hooked up to Christ. It's to keep a happy heart in Christ. I like that. Through the day, just meditate on the Lord a little bit now and then. I like something that my wife is doing. She has a little chart of about 5 scriptures on it, and she memorizes those scriptures throughout the day. Whenever she gets a chance, she's a housewife, she'll pick up that chart and just read it and meditate on that scripture for the day. That's keeping yourself happy in Christ, because you see more and more the joy of Christ. Brothers and sisters, as we do these things, we have our desires for the things of the flesh will dwindle. But our love for Christ will increase. That is how we stay attached to the locomotive. Remember the picture. It is the Spirit that leads. You have your own little engine, unfortunately. It's still there. But don't turn it on. Stay hooked up to Christ. Keep your life occupied in Him. And you will discover the joy of the Lord. What does the Word say about the joy of the Lord? It is our strength. So that, brothers and sisters, is our initial warfare and battle, is with the flesh and the Spirit. But it is really the Spirit. You cannot defeat your flesh. The flesh cannot defeat itself because it is always rebellious. It is always unsubmissive. No matter how much the flesh may think it wants to serve God, it really doesn't. So you just can't allow the use of your flesh. You need to stay hooked up. You need to find your happiness in Christ. Brothers and sisters, I think that a lot of discouragement that we come into in our Christian life is that we're just not really hooked up. You know? we try to find our satisfaction and our happiness in other things. And it doesn't work. It unfortunately leaves us empty. You can only find true happiness, true joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy things. You can. But allow the Lord to bring the things you enjoy into your life. Well, I think this might be helpful with this matter of the flesh and the spirit. The second stage of spiritual life is a little different. In this stage, you are disposing of the enemy and taking possession of the land. The land is Jesus Christ. Well, the illustration, of course, would be the nation of Israel. When they left the desert, crossed the river, entered the land, they came up against Jericho, didn't they? They had to dispossess the enemy in order to possess the land. Those two things went together. Brothers and sisters, in our possessing Christ, you're going to be in warfare because it's through the disposing of the enemy that we're strengthened in faith and that we're strengthened in the image of Christ in His victory. It is through warfare. Jericho, you know, Joshua, I'm sure, was thinking, all right, now, how am I going to attack this city? You know, I've got these amount of forces. This is a formidable wall up there to deal with. How in the world am I going to bust through that wall or get over that wall? And then all of a sudden, this man shows up and Joshua said, well, who are you? Are you for me or against me? He's in battle. And the Lord Jesus, it was the Lord, and the Lord said, no. He said, I'm not for you or against you. He said, I'm captain of the host. I'm in charge. We need to know who's in charge in this battle. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately, Joshua submits to him. And the Lord gives him the battle plan. And it was quite awesome battle plan. Joshua wasn't going to storm the wall. They were going to walk around the walls one time each day and on the seventh day seven times. And they were going to blow the trumpet at the end and shout, and the wall would fall down. What a strange way to fight war, really. But it is a battle of faith, and we need to remember that. In this battle of dispossessing the enemy and possessing Christ, it is a matter of faith. The enemy has been defeated. That is where our faith has to rest upon. Whatever situation you're coming into, the enemy has been defeated. You can stand in the victory of Christ. But at the same time, you need to possess what the Lord has for you in that, in Christ. And you possess it. The two go together. I think it's really interesting. I can't go into it too much. Boy, this message will go on forever. But it is important to know that they just didn't immediately attack this thing. What did they do? They marched around it. And they had the ram's horns blowing, and the ark was in front. And the ram's horns was announcing the presence of the ark in front of the enemy. That did two things. It frightened the enemy, and it encouraged the nation of Israel. Faith began to rise in their heart. And on the seventh day, after they had marched seven times, the faith was there. And all they had to do was shout. And the walls came down. It is faith. It's a battle of faith. The enemy cannot win. Thank God. He can win over us, but he can't win over Christ. That's why it's Christ's victory that we have to announce, not ours. The church is called to bring the victory of Christ to bear upon the situations in this world's cosmos that we deal with. That's what we try to do on Wednesday nights. Brothers and sisters, it is corporate prayer to stand against the enemy, to possess God's will in all of these situations on the earth for our Lord Jesus Christ, and to bring them to His footstool. In these battles, we experience what has already been won in Christ. Let me say it again. In these battles, what we really experience in this warfare is what has already been won in Christ. Remember, before they went into Jericho, the Lord said, I've given it to you. It was already theirs, but they still had to possess it. Brothers and sisters, this is the way we regain dominion that God has charged us with as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:46. I hope I got that scripture right. That can't be right. 4 through 6. Thank you. I didn't see my dash. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, the old man, the old will, it can't do it, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's strongholds in this nation. There's strongholds in our lives, isn't there? You sense the strongholds. But he says the weapons are mighty. They are spiritual weapons. And they can pull down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Brothers and sisters, how often through the years I've run into situations and come to find out a brother and sister had an issue and come to find out it was an imagination. It was they thought that this is the way it was, or they thought this is the way this brother or sister had offended them, and in fact it hadn't. It was an imagination that the enemy had put into the mind of a brother and sister. I had it happen to me. These imaginations can only be pulled down in prayer. But casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our mind, such a battlefield. Brothers and sisters, we have to be aware of this, to pull down everything that is against Christ. I've always said, if you get offended at somebody, what you need to do is ask the Lord, Lord, why am I offended? What in me is offended? Now, sometimes you can absolutely be right in what the charge is. But there's many times when we are offended, there's no intention on the other party's part to offend us. And we find out that it's something of our flesh in us that's offended. Not the spirit, but our flesh. And we have to allow the Lord to deal with that. Anyway, pulling down imaginations and strongholds. I think we have some imaginations in this world system that man can control all things. That man can fix the problems of this world. That's an imagination. You know, I recently heard that there's a book out now that's being promoted, and I can't remember the name of it. But basically it says this. Equality means everybody's the same. Of course, that's not what equality really means, but that's what they're saying. And then for everybody to be the same, we've got to break down the family structure, take that out of the way, because that's discriminatory. Because some families are better off than others, and some, you know, teach your children this, some teach your children that, and that's not working. So we need, what?
Privilege,
okay. Take it down, we're going to take it across, and let the government teach our children. Let the government decide what is right and wrong. That's where we're headed, unfortunately. Political correctness. I told you it's a new religion in this nation. Maybe it's not that new, but it is a religion that is coming to the fore. Brothers and sisters, in Ephesians 6:12. Let's look at that one. I promise I'll try to finish this morning up on time here. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what's really running our government. That's what's really running this world. You know, there's a spirit of Persia, which is the current Iran. But in Daniel, the book of Daniel, it talks about the spirit of Persia resisted Gabriel, the angel, when he was trying to get a message to Daniel. Slowed him down for 3 weeks. So there's a real spiritual powers out there trying to rule over this world. Lords of darkness. And that is what we're against as a church. There's a prince over America. And we see his activities even today. Brothers and sisters, in this warfare, you will be attacked as individuals. But you need to approach all prayer as a prayer of the church, standing on the ground of the church, the army of God. If the enemy can get you off to himself, he will pick you off. We need each other in prayer. Why? There's something special about being gathered together in prayer, in corporate prayer. The Lord says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. Not only am I in you, I am in your midst. You have the power of His presence in your midst as you gather corporately to pray. Not only that, but the Lord was very emphatic. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Standing for God's will on this earth. The church is here to rule and carry out the will of Christ on this earth. That's what our charge is. The enemy, as I've already said, has organized this whole world, political, economically, social, education, everything, into his own system to fight Christ and all that stand with Christ. That is our resistance. It is the kingdom of darkness coming out. But be reminded, and this is what's encouraged me lately because I've been so discouraged at what I've seen, is that God is going to use all of this to mature you and me. We need to be soldiers. We need to take up our place as soldiers. If we're going to be matured in Christ, be conformed to His image, we need to become a true soldier of Jesus Christ. We just can't sit in the chairs. You know, we can't be bystanders, onlookers. We're involved. You know, I thought about this being in the army for the Christian. We're called to be on the front lines every day, not in the rear. We're not a National Guard unit that occasionally gets called up. We're in the battle all the time and frankly on the front lines all the time, whether you realize it or not. I'm really praying in my own heart that we'll come true soldiers, that we will become true soldiers of Jesus Christ. Really. Lord, learn how to fight these battles by faith. It is not against flesh and blood, brothers and sisters. I'll say this again next week, but one of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to deceive you and me to thinking that our problem is my wife, my husband, my boss. These circumstances, if I didn't have these circumstances, it'd be all right. You know what he's doing? He's taking himself away from being the target. Instead of praying against the work of the enemy that is obvious in these cases and standing against his work in either our family situation or our work situation or in other circumstances it may be in your life, instead of standing against Him, we feel like we're fighting against people, flesh and blood. And when that's happened, we've lost the battle. And just a reminder, because we all fall into that trap. He fights by deceit. You know that? He really does. Brothers and sisters, we need to really be strong in Christ and not try to fight this in our flesh. Can I end with this little story of the three pigs? There were three little pigs. One went and bought straw and built a house out of straw. And the wolf came along and he said, "I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down." And little piggy said, no, I don't know what this chinny chin chin thing is. But anyway, he said, "Not by the chinny chin chin." And so the wolf huffs and puffs and blows. And he blows the house down and he, of course, eats the little pig. The other little pig, he went out and bought sticks. Gathered up sticks or bought them. And said, that'll be a pretty strong house. So he built his house out of sticks. Wolf comes along. Says, "I'm going to eat you today," or whatever he said. I can't remember. It's been a long time, maybe 50, 60 years. Anyway, he said, "I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down." And he does. And he eats the little pig. The third pig was smart. He built his house out of bricks. Now, I would like to say, let's convert this to stones. Because we're living stones built together, a house of God. In other words, if your house is built with Christ, your strength is in Christ. That is where your victory is. You can always hide in Christ. He is your strong tower and your shield. And this little pig was smart, and he built his house out of bricks. And the wolf came, and I made the same charge, and he began to huff and puff and huff and puff. And finally, he became exhausted and just left. Because the pig was secure in that brick house. But there's more to this story. The wolf said, "I can deceive this guy." And he said, "Look," he said, "tomorrow," he said, "I heard that there was some," what is it pigs like to eat so much? Slop. No, it wasn't slop. It was turnips. It was a field of turnips. He said, "I know where a field of turnips is, and tomorrow at 4 o'clock, he says, "I'll come and get you, and we can go and both gather those turnips up." And the pig said, "Okay." So he was getting him out of the house, right? The little pig, a little smarter than the enemy thought, he got up at 3, left at 3 o'clock, went and got the turnips, and came back and got in the house. So when the pig, when the wolf shows up, he said, "Let's go. Let's go get some turnips." He said, "I already got them. Already got them." So he didn't outsmart him. But that is the point of the attack of the enemy. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, there is the outright assault, the huffing and puffing and blowing. And other times there's the deception. And we need to be aware of both. So may the Lord help us in this matter of being soldiers. I have hopefully just one more message on this matter. But today I think more than anything else that we really become aware of the warfare and that we're called as soldiers into this warfare, brothers and sisters. It's not just for our sakes. It's not just to save our own skin. It's for Christ's sake. That he might eventually have that man-child that will be raptured to the throne and begin his return back to this earth. And it takes overcomers. Lord, we just come to thee today. We thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, I want to thank you that you not only saved me from hell, but Lord, you have delivered me from the kingdom of darkness and put me into your kingdom. And Lord, we want to be trained as your soldiers now, to be true soldiers, that we might be overcomers, Lord. That we might be among those, Lord, that could be a part of that man-child, Lord, that can be raptured to escort you back. Lord, we thank you today. We worship you. May your will be done in our lives as you've determined in heaven. In Jesus' name.